Daniel chapter number 2, verse number 19. Then, everybody say then, was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Verse 20, he answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. We read these verses last week. He changeth the times and the seasons. Verse 22, revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. By the way, he knows everything. Verse 23, first three words. First word. I. Speak for yourself. I thank thee. We shouldn't need a holiday to do that. Somebody say amen. Next three words, and what? Praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me might and wisdom, hast made known unto me now. God knows when you need it, doesn't he? What we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. 24, then Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah. Where'd you find him from? Of the captives of Judah, that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? 27, I don't know if we'll get here today, but it's a good verse. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king, but there is a God in heaven. Preach, pastor. There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. The dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Help the Bible to be heeded. We know it's going to help us if we're heeded. Help us not just to be hearers, but doers. Bless now these moments, I pray. Keep the devil from interfering. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The clash between culture and Christianity. The conflict. The intersection. It's a head-on collision. These are two opposites going in two different directions. They have a different aim. They have a different end. They have a different cause. This is the world versus the word. These are those who do not know Christ clashing with those of us that do. We're not trying to destroy them. We're not trying to belittle them. But we must understand that when you choose to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not walk in step with the world. Somebody say amen. And so the clash comes. Daniel chapter 1, we saw it clearly. And the children of God won. Aren't you glad that God's a winner? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Then Daniel chapter 2, we saw it through the serious predicament. Let's understand what's going on. Nebuchadnezzar falls asleep, has a dream, wakes up, can't remember the dream, and doesn't know what the dream means. He's in a serious predicament. This is indicative of the problems that come in life that we can't fix. Life serves us problems. It serves us predicaments. It serves us situations. We run into walls. We run into difficulties. We fall into adversity. And we can't resolve it on our own. It's a serious predicament, bringing about a subsequent problem. Because we don't have the resources, it brings about a rarity that ushers in rage. We're angry because problems can't be solved. We're human beings that like to be in control. We like to make decisions. We like to call the shots. Have you ever thought about the fact why Adam and Eve had to eat off the one tree when they could eat off all the others? That's the nature of the flesh. We always want more. We always want something else. We always want, listen to me, you leave the room and say, kids, don't touch that. That's the one thing they touch. Listen to me, the flesh always wants to go where it doesn't want to go. By the way, that's why you can't trust your flesh. Come on now. I said, well, Pastor, I've been saved for 20 years. You still got a lost flesh. What happens after 30 years? A lost flesh. What happens after 1 week? A lost flesh. Your flesh does not get saved. Listen to me. When you get saved, you don't get a saved flesh. You get the Spirit of God that lives inside of you. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So although you have a flesh, you have a spirit that's inside of you that's stronger than the flesh. Aren't you glad God is stronger than the flesh? God's stronger than the devil. God's stronger than the world. The issue is yielding to the Spirit. So the subsequent problem introduced us to a spiritual perspective. None of the astrologers, none of the magicians, none of the rulers, nobody had the answer. Somebody needed the mind of God. By the way, let me remind us this morning. Until you get God in the equation, you're going to never get an answer. Not one that works. Not one that works. And the world is clamoring around trying to figure out all of life's problems through money and religion and medicine and philosophy and politics and psychology. And they're frustrated because they're all gathering around in a huddle and they can't seem to find the answer. And here comes Daniel, the voice of God. You ever wonder why we said in Daniel chapter 1, God put Daniel and those three boys in Babylon? Because he knew that Babylon didn't have what they needed, so he sent someone there to show the light. That's why you're on your job. That's why we're in this world. That's why God has left us here, to show them what they cannot figure out on their own. And by the way, thank God somebody showed you. Thank God somebody shined the light in the midst of your darkness. So the spiritual perspective that Daniel brings, I can tell you about somebody who can do it. Can I ask you a question? Do you know somebody who can? It's the one he just sang about, Jesus Christ. He died once and for all. And then last week we were introduced to the supernatural phenomenon. Daniel said, listen to me. I know who has the answer. He goes to his friends. Pray about it. Ask God to come through. And chapter number 2, verse number 19 showed us as they prayed, God came through. Look at verse number 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. How many of you can agree with Sister Austin this morning? God answers prayer. I said, God answers prayer. Listen to me. We don't need to fall asleep on that. We don't need to dismiss that. If we're not careful, we will make our Christian experience all about the predicaments, all about the problems, and we'll forget the phenomena. Listen to me. God is still doing great things. One of the joys that I've been able to experience here, pastoring Crossroads Baptist Church through this pandemic, is to watch God in the midst of a time when so much is going wrong, so many difficulties are being introduced, so much adversity is being experienced, to know that heaven has not been shut down, that God has not been stripped, that His hand has not been stymied, that nobody can put a lid on God. Aren't you glad that God doesn't get stale? He doesn't wear out. He doesn't slow down. He doesn't need to be recharged. He doesn't have to be voted in. He doesn't have to run another term. He doesn't have to raise enough money for his campaign. When there was nobody, there was God. When all the kingdoms have crumbled, there will still be God. Kings are set up and they come down. People vote them in and vote them out. Some of them get impeached and some of them resign. But of His kingdom, there will be no end. Our God is God and God alone forever and ever. Amen. So we see the supernatural phenomenon, the divine work. Last week, the divine work should push us to directed worship. Look at verse number 19. The secret was revealed, second part of the verse. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. I believe that somebody in the midst of God's blessings needs to break into worship. That's what's missing. That's what the world needs to see. Worship, directed worship. Look at verse number 19. Blessed be the God of heaven. Directed worship has a proper aim. Worship has to always go up to God. Did you hear that? Worship has to go up to God. We come to church, we worship God. We don't worship people. We don't worship ourselves. We worship God. Amen. He says, He blessed the God of heaven. Look at verse number 20. Then Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. Worship involves a proper aim, but it also involves a passionate acknowledgement. Notice what he said. Wisdom and might are His. Understand the distinction between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is information. Wisdom is the ability to disseminate that information in order to make right decisions. Here's what Daniel understands. Wisdom and might are His. Here's what He said. If I got it, I got it from Him. If I'm wise, I got my wisdom from Him. If I'm strong, I got my might from Him. If I'm blessed, I got my blessings from Him. If I'm talented, I got my talent from Him. If I'm gifted, I got my giftedness from Him. If I've got anything, I got it from Him. He says wisdom and might are His. Worship is a proper aim, but worship is a passionate acknowledgement. Ladies and gentlemen, in these last days, somebody who knows something has got to speak up and acknowledge that God is still at work and He's still does great things. Look around your house and look around your things that you have and look around your family and look in your finances, and instead of bemoaning and bewailing and complaining and griping, pause and stop and say, blessed be the God of heaven. And by the way, He sits in heaven. I like the fact He sits in heaven because that means He can see everything. He sits high and looks low. By the way, wherever God sits, He can see everything. But I'm glad He's up in heaven. You know why? He's up above everything. And sometimes if we're not careful, we will let our minds get discouraged because we act like the way it is down here is the way it looks like up there. It's a whole different picture. We've got to acknowledge God. Did you go through life this week and not acknowledge God? Did you pick up all that food off that table 1, 2, 3, 4 times? Don't answer. Did you eat earlier just so you could eat later? All right. Did you get a midnight snack, which really wasn't a snack? It was a whole meal. Somebody say amen. Did you go again on Friday and maybe again on Saturday and decide that's enough? All right. Did you watch those sports? And don't talk about that. But anyway, Did you watch that football or watch basketball the next day or watch football the next day? Did you go to those stores and catch some sales and run into the craze with all those people? Did you battle that traffic? A number of our folks said they were coming from down south and battled that traffic more difficulty than they've ever experienced before. Did you go through all of that and talk about sales and food and family and fun and sports and not acknowledge God? It's possible to go through life and act like God doesn't exist. Listen, we have had a pandemic. We have had difficulties. I went to the store a couple weeks ago. I said to the butcher in the back, do you realize that you raised the price on chicken wings and took 2 wings out? The butcher said to me, I didn't even realize we went from 12 to 10. I said, I did. How were they $6.30-some before with 12, and now they're $8.20-some with 10? I mean, it just shouldn't be that way. I talked last week about filling up the gas tank. Good gracious alive. What it cost and the stuff that we talk about and we listen today and we think about people that are going through sickness and another church member that's lost someone and someone else that's lost another church member. And we think about the heartache and we think about the violence. Think about the violence that's going on in the streets. People killing one another, shooting one another and attacking one another and lying on one another, stealing from one another, cheating one another. Listen to me. We live in a crazy world. Somebody say amen. I don't care where you live. So I just want to move on somewhere where it's quiet and there's no crime and nobody bothers anybody. Where are you going to go where that is? Listen to me, it's everywhere. You get the nicest people in the most quiet neighborhood and the gated community. You got sinners living there. There's never going to be a place where there's no nonsense on planet Earth. But let's not get so hooked up on the nonsense that we forget God is still at work. Amen. Let's acknowledge Him, a passionate acknowledgement. Notice His praiseworthy acts. Verse number 21. He changes the times and the seasons. Come on now. God's the one that takes it from summer to fall and from fall to winter and from winter to spring. Listen to me. God is the one that changes the leaves and make them fall down. And God is the one that brings the sun out and the rain out and lets those trees grow those leaves again. And God is the one that brings the summer. God's the one that sends the rain. And God's the one that sends the sunshine to evaporate the rain. And God's the one that sends the weather. And God's the one that brings the sun up and lets it set and lets us see the moon and puts the stars in place. God's the one that changes times and seasons. By the way, how in the world can you look at the world and not know there's a God? He changeth the times and the season. He removeth kings. He setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom. Don't get out of whack because of who's in office or who's not in office or who's in and who's out. And you can't believe that happening. Don't get all out of whack over who's in charge. Maybe you're at work today. You don't like your boss. And you don't like who got promoted. And somebody else got lifted up when it should have been you. And you work harder and never get noticed. And you do all this stuff and never get paid for it. And you never get appreciated. Let me tell you something. Daniel recognized God is the one that removeth and setteth up kings. Psalm 75, promotion cometh not for the east or the west or the south. God is the judge. He setteth up one and taketh down another. If you don't like who's in charge, if you don't like what's going on, if you don't like who's in power, just hang on a little while. God is going to make it all good. There's coming a day there's going to be one person sitting on the throne in Jerusalem. His name is Jesus. Amen. No devil, no flesh, no sin. You say, well, it's not like that now. Borrow from the future today and determine I'm not going to get mad about today when I know what's coming tomorrow. In the end, we win. Aren't you glad the Bible's not a book you can't look at till we get there? You know, the teacher used to say, don't look at it till I tell you to. Aren't you glad God gave us the whole Bible so you can read in Genesis and read in Revelation at the same time? We can be in the age of grace and get excited about what heaven's going to be like. We're not in heaven, but we know we're going. I'm not hoping I'm going to heaven, wishing I'm going to heaven, crossing my fingers. The old songwriter said, I'm doing my best to make it in. Bless her heart, but that ain't the truth. I'm not doing my best to make it in. God sent his best. I believe it, and I'm in. Amen. So we must understand that worship involves the praiseworthy acts of God, the powerful attributes of God. He revealeth the deep and secret things. Come on now. He revealeth. Listen, God can answer all the questions we can't answer. God can figure out all the diseases we can't figure out. God can fill in all the blanks we can't fill in. God gives peace when there's disarray. God gives stability when there's confusion. God gives reconciliation when there's separation. God gives restoration when there's division. Listen to me. God gives the answers to all of the questions. God gives the solutions to all of the problems. You say, Pastor, I know that. Worship is not just knowing it. Worship is proclaiming it. You got to let yourself know and everybody around you, you know who your God is. Now, verse 23, personal adoration. I thank thee. Come on, this is what worship is about. Worship is not just when you say, oh yeah, God is, God is, God is, God is. Worship is when you get involved and say, I thank thee. I praise thee. Come on, when's the last time you praised God? Well, I sure enjoyed her singing. Well, what did you do? Oh, I sure enjoyed the choir. How did you praise? You may not have a microphone. You may not be a singing a solo, but that doesn't mean you ought to come to church and not worship. I thank thee. I praise thee, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me now what we desire of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. Look at the difference in verse number 23 with verses 20 through 22. In verse 20, he was saying, blessed be the name. He was calling God's name out. God has wisdom and might. Verse 21, he changeth the nights and the season and the times. He removeth kings. 22, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in darkness, and the light dwelleth in him. What he gets in verse number 23, he says, I'm not just going to talk about all that God does. In verse number 23, I'm going to talk about what he did for me. Come on, if you're not careful, you get to quoting all those verses about God, and you won't make it personal. Everybody in the building, listen to me. How great thou art, how great thou art, O Lord my God. When I an awesome wonder, you put the stars in the sky. Thank God for that. But you know, real worship gets down to it when you say, let me tell you what he did for me. Let me tell you what he did for me. When I was struggling, he came through for me. Daniel said, I know what he did with kings. I know what he did with times. I know what he did with seasons. I know what he did with the sun. I know what he did with the stars. I know what he did with the moon. He said, but let me tell you what he did. I was the one that went before the king and said, I can tell you who can come through. I was the one that said, if you give me a chance, I'll make the interpretation. I was the one that said, there's a God who can do it. I was the one that stepped up and said, not everybody's going to have to die. I was the one that begged for an opportunity. And he said, when I put myself on the line, God came through for me. When my back was against the wall, when my neck was getting ready to be cut off, when there was no hope, there was no help, there was no answer. I was reading in the Psalms this morning, Psalm 124. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, let me tell you something. Every once in a while, You need to break out of those general worship sessions and go into a personal one. Amen. Do you know what he did for you? Listen to me. That's why nobody can be better at sharing your testimony than you. You were there. Amen. You don't know my story, but I know it. Amen. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Somebody ought to thank him. Thank you, God, for giving me a wife. Thank you, God, for giving me a family. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for redeeming me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for restoring me. Thank you for changing me. Thank you for lifting my head up. Thank you for picking up my spirits. Thank you for providing. Before you eat the turkey, thank him for the turkey. Before you cut the pie, thank him for the pie. Let me tell you something. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. I tell you why we're so grumpy and so hard to be around. We have lost our spirit of gratitude. And if all we have it is around Thanksgiving or when we get a raise or when something good happens, we miss it. Ladies and gentlemen, 1 Thessalonians 5, in everything give thanks. You say, well, sometimes I can't thank him for some stuff because I don't like it. But if you can't thank him for it, thank him in it. In everything give thanks. In the valley give thanks. When the prison doors are closed and you feel like you're getting locked in with discouragement all around you, in everything give. In turmoil give thanks. In losing a loved one give thanks. In adversity give thanks. In financial struggle give thanks. When you're cold, when you're weary, when it's dark, when you're lonely, when you're frustrated, when you're discouraged, when you don't know what to do, give thanks, amen, with a grateful heart. Why? Because he's done so much for us. Make it personal. So many are walking away from the faith because they have nothing personal. Personal adoration. That's the divine work, the directed worship. Look at verse 24 is what I call a determined witness. We're rounding up here. After he praises God and worships God. Verse 24. Therefore, Daniel went unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Now, Arioch is the one who has been assigned. Verse number 15. Why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Arioch is the messenger of Nebuchadnezzar who is going to destroy all of the wise men because Nebuchadnezzar can't remember his dream. Let me tell you something. When you get mad in your own spirit, you're ready to hurt everybody else too. This is what Nebuchadnezzar is doing. Since I can't remember my dream and y'all can't determine it, I'm going to kill all of you. Daniel says, I got an answer from God. Look at what the determined witness has. Instinctive resolve. Are you seeing that in verse number 24? Therefore, Daniel went in. The moment God came through for him, he took what God did for him and used it to help somebody else. You know, it's amazing how long we sit on our blessings. Oh, God has been so good to me. What are you doing with it? Boy, God can. Well, God blessed me. What are you doing? Listen, the moment he got it, he worshiped God. But his worship made him a witness. Here's what Daniel said. This is the pattern, ladies and gentlemen, when this clash between culture and Christianity reveals itself so vividly. The work of God should usher in worship from the people of God. But our worship to God should make us a witness to other people. Here's what Daniel said. God, I need you. Here's what God said. Daniel, I'm coming through. Here's what Daniel said. God, I thank you. And then Daniel said, after I thank God, he said, I got to go tell somebody. I got to go tell somebody. Arioch, come here. Don't destroy the wise men. I will show unto the king the interpretation. Instinctive resolve. Ladies and gentlemen, every time you get something from this book, give it to somebody. Every time you learn something, share it with somebody. Every time you discover something, teach it with somebody. The reason why Christians die on the vine is because they become so much of a reservoir for truth, but never a reciprocator of the truth. Listen to me. When you get it, you got to give it. The best way to cement what you've learned is to teach it to somebody else. I love what's happening in the prison ministry. Well, we can't go into prison. What are you going to do? We can't go into prison, so I guess we just shut this thing down. No. Just because your body can't go into prison doesn't mean the truth can't go into prison. You got to find a way to get people the gospel. Thank God for all of our men that are writing and our ladies and the interpretation that's going on. This is what you do. God has been too good to us to keep it to ourselves. So he says, I got to go tell somebody. Arioch, don't destroy the wise men. Instinctive result. Here's the imperative request. Let me talk to the king. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you so sure of God's word that you're willing to ask permission to share it with the most powerful people? Let me stand before the king. The imperative request. Notice the inviting response. The Bible says, Arioch brought Daniel in with haste and said unto the king, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known the king's interpretation. Now be careful, be careful. Be careful when you start tooting your horn. Because somebody is going to give you a chance to say what you say you know. You know the problem with a lot of Christians? They go barking, but they can't bite. Come on. See, be careful when you go putting up statuses about how much you love God. Because people are going to check you on it when you're saying cuss words on that same status. Huh? Be careful when you wave your hand on Sunday because people are going to want you to use those same hands for clean things on Monday. Okay, Daniel, you got something? You got a testimony? You got an interpretation? We're going to book you a gig. You can sing? Oh, I could. It's amazing how many people brag on stuff because they never think anybody is going to check them on it. See, it's good at spewing off things about yourself when nobody in the audience can fact check you. Daniel, you say you got the dream. Okay, we're going to find out if you really have it because I'm going to get you in front of the king. Be careful, Christian. In these last days, your Christianity is going to be put on blast. You better make sure you know your lines. Huh? Don't go audition for the play talking about how good you can act. And then you put you up on the stage and line, please. You ever had anybody that said they needed help on something and you gave them a word and then they need another word and then need another word and then they need another word? No, you don't need your line. You need the whole script. Listen to me. If you were there when God did something for you, why do you need somebody to read you your lines? That's why you're never going to be a good Christian. You are never going to know what to do with Goliath unless you have already encountered a lion and a bear. You've got to develop a personal testimony because the devil is not going to test you on the movement of Christianity. He's going to test you on your personal walk with God. And unless you've been in the trenches with God by yourself, it's only a matter of time before you get exposed. I'm going to give you one thought and then I want to close today. The determined witness, the directed worship. Just one thought of this, the declared wonder. The declared wonder. So here's Daniel standing in front of the king. And I want you to notice what happens when the king sees him. Then the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Write this down and I'll let you go home. Here is a huge test. It's all a part of what I call a declared wonder. A huge test. Up to this point, God has given Daniel an opportunity to represent him. Now he's standing in front of the king. And the king asked him the question. Okay, have you gotten the secret? Let's look at the question one more time. Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen in the interpretation thereof? Don't skim over words in the Bible. Listen to the king's question. Are you able to make known the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof. The average Christian would have heard that question and said, absolutely. You know what? He'd have been wrong. This was a test. After God has put you in the position, Daniel, to represent him, are you going to take the credit? I believe in these last days, God's doing big things. Right here at Crossroads Baptist Church, God has done big things. Here's the question. Are you going to take the credit? It'd be very easy for people to say, oh, thank you so much for what you did. That was such a blessing. And you say, oh, anytime. Instead of saying, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Watch this now. I didn't do it because I can't do it. You're just a wonderful Christian. Oh, thank you. You shouldn't have. No. Not me. Now, God's taking us through a test right now. Because we already know he's going to do great things. The question is, you going to take credit for it? He already gave God glory by himself. You know, we're good at that. Oh, I thank God in my prayer closet all the time. Then we get in front of people and we're like, oh, thank you. I did it. There's a test. Before you can ever declare the wonders of God for his glory, you got to pass the test. And here's the passing. I've got to decide whether I'm going to steal the credit for something God did. Boy, at Crossroads Baptist Church, God's done some wonders around here. Amen. Let's not get in the way and try to steal the credit. He's done it. He deserves all the glory. And we ought to be thankful that he uses us to point other people back to him. Father, thank you for your precious word. I pray you use it to help us and strengthen us. Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one.